Elvis.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Damn glad to have you on a victory Monday, 3-0.
She saved the weekend us, brother.
Yep. Casey Curran did their job on Friday night, winning 3-0.
That was a great game to be a part of on Friday, even though it was like 1,000 degrees out there on Friday.
I know. I need to get one of those Curran hats. It's the teal bill, and then the white hat with the KC that's teal as well. I think Mahomes was wearing one this weekend.
You got your Curran pullover on, hoodie on today. It's nice. I like
it. It was a good day. Woke up, it was like 54 degrees outside and raining. I said, you know what? This is hoodie and sweats day.
Yeah, it is. There you go. And late night last night, get out of here early today, get you a little bit of a nap in and whatnot, kind of recover. I was telling somebody last night, like, how do the late night games work for you? I go, you recover all week. All week you're chasing your tail when it comes to trying to recover from staying up late last night. But hey, you know what? Occupational hazard.
Yeah, right? I didn't feel too tired this morning just because, like, that game, you know, you just kind of,
I get what you're saying. No, I totally agree. Like, you weren't, you didn't feel like you were really stressing it out, right? Even though it came down to a final play, but whatever.
It just felt like you were in control. Once they had that first drive and everybody's like, okay, they looked a little confused there because Justin Reed in the corner had a little bit of confusion, and then all of a sudden they go to Spags, he figures it out, and the rest of the game they only allow, 19 points?
Yeah, don't they always seemingly...
They allow 10 points the rest of the game.
Don't they seemingly give up a touchdown like on every first drive now, and then they figure it out?
It's also the scripted plays.
It is, exactly. People don't realize the first 15 plays for every team. They know what they're going to do. I mean, the Chiefs had a 17-play drive. Now, it resulted in interception, and that wasn't the way you wanted that drive to end. But if the Chiefs even get 3 points in that situation instead of throwing it away like Patrick Mahomes did, then you've got yourself a kind of a blowout. So you just got to eliminate these easy mistakes that they're making right now. Finish drives with touchdowns, not field goals, and everything's going to be wonderful. And you'll look like that team from 2018 from an offensive standpoint, even though right now this league is just not lending itself to that. How many teams are scoring over 30 points a game? I mean, there was a 15-12 final in the NFL yesterday. Is Minnesota the only one that scored over 30 yesterday?
Well, I mean, if you count,
I think we'll see that tonight. I think we'll see
The Bengals will put up 30 on the Commodes?
I think Cincinnati has a chance to do that.
But I mean, you look around the league yesterday. The days of like 30-point games.
Packers scored 30.
Oh, yeah, they did score 30 against the Titans.
And the Panthers scored 36 against the
Raiders. Right, the Panthers did. Yeah, they put up 36. How bad does Bryce Young look right now?
It was the Red Rocky yesterday.
I mean, he looked good, baby.
I told you he was going to find Thielen in the end zone. He did, and then Thielen got hurt.
And did you see the way that team responded to, though, and played? Like, they finally felt like, you know what? The other 52 dudes stood a chance yesterday with Andy Dalton, and they played like it yesterday, and Antonio Pierce was not a happy camper after the game.
Just didn't seem to show up tonight.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. Mm. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
So whoever gets cut today, we know, made a business decision yesterday.
There is one player in the NFL this season with 300 pass yards and 3 pass touchdowns in a single game.
Sam Darnold?
Andy Dalton.
One game played. That's right. Somebody had said that, like, Andy Dalton's leading the league in passing or something. It's insane.
It's
ridiculous. It's nuts, right? But that's the league right now.
Yep.
And that's why you take a step back and you go, okay, we're 3-0. We're in good shape. We're really good right now. Like, Andy Dalton's the best quarterback in the league, followed by Sam Darnold.
All right. Let's see where we got it right or got it completely wrong.
Who are we starting with?
You start with me.
You start with, all right.
I'll take the Heat first. Because I think the only thing I got was that Carson Steele would be like a household name. Which I think
Atlanta will win the coin toss and they will receive.
Told you.
I don't know why, but they will. Atlanta will go all the way down the field and Kirk Cousins will throw his first interception to Trent McDuffie.
And I think if you're playing the Chiefs, you should receive every time if you win the coin toss.
And Trent McDuffie will get his first interception against Kirk Cousins. The Chiefs will then go down the field throwing the ball 3 times for reception to Travis Kelce, who will have at least 28 yards on his first drive with Patrick Mahomes. They will score 7 points. The Chiefs will then go down the field again after getting the ball back on a 3-and-out to Kirk Cousins, kick a 55-yard field goal with Harrison Butker in a dome, who could probably kick it 65 if he wanted to. The Chiefs will be up 10-0. The Atlanta Falcons will get 3 abysmal points at the end of the second quarter, going up to the Chiefs. It'll be 10-3 at halftime. In the second half, the wheels fall off. Patrick Mahomes fires a bomb to Xavier Worthy, just like he did to Tyreek Hill in that preseason game that we all remember when we saw Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes steal the NFL. That was the foreshadowing of it. Xavier Worthy over the top for 50 yards. Take that for your deep two safety Kuiper.
Then the Chiefs win the game 34-17. The game is over. The Chiefs are 3-0. They move on. They get out of Atlanta. Chiefs 34-17. Travis Kelce, big first drive that ends in a touchdown. Travis Kelce will have a touchdown later in the game for two touchdowns. And Trent McDuffie gets his first interception against Kirk Cousins. Chiefs win 34-17.
You got the 17.
I got the 17 in the kick, yeah. Right. I got two of the six legs in that parlay,
hey,
right?
Hey, you got the 17.
That's right.
There you go.
I got the 17, right? You know what?
They would have had a touchdown. Mahomes doesn't throw an interception at the end there, so.
Bob, you ready for yours?
Sure. Travis Kelce, big stage, big night, big game.
Wrong.
He'll go crazy. He'll get over 100 yards.
Wrong.
He'll score the game-winning touchdown. I envision
Wrong.
It very much like that Charger game
Wrong.
A couple of years ago where I had COVID in my eye and I could barely see as my eye was dripping, and poor Josh had to do the show from L.A. by himself that day because I couldn't see out of my eye and it was pussing, but I did see Travis Kelce score that touchdown and win that game against the Chargers. Travis will go absolutely crazy in this game. Atlanta won't be able to keep up with the Chiefs offense. They'll end up losing by double digits along the way,
Wrong.
I believe as well. McDuffie picks off Kirk Cousins. Chris Jones has
Wrong.
Multiple sacks.
Wrong.
And listen to this one, okay? I want you to pause and listen to this one for a second.
This is going
to
be really wrong.
Andy Reid will get the win on Sunday.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
He will be 3-0. Andy Reid on Sunday will officially have more wins as a Chiefs coach than he did as the Eagles coach.
And he did.
And he did. 130. Yeah, so I got one of those legs right. But that is significant. Andy Reid now in just over 10-plus years, now into his 11th season as the coach of the Chiefs, 131 wins. He coached 14 years in Philadelphia, had 130 wins. And that's not saying he was no good in Philadelphia. He was outstanding in Philadelphia until those final couple of seasons. But he's just obliterating what he did in Philadelphia. And I'm going to make the case again. In what draft will somebody get picked where they don't know that Andy Reid was the coach of the Eagles? I'm saying 2026. Somebody texted yesterday or on Friday and said, I bet you there's somebody in the NFL right now who doesn't know that Andy Reid coached the Philadelphia Eagles. And there may be.
There may be.
There may be. That's the kind of impact this gentleman is having here in Kansas City. Andy Reid has more wins than any Chiefs head coach and now has more wins in less seasons as the Chiefs head coach than he did in Philadelphia. Tip of the cap to Big Red.
All right, let's the worst for last.
Okay.
Chiefs finally lose a game where they play.
It's 12 after. We got to go. Sorry. We can't finish this. We got to go to break. Wrap it up. Let's get on to the next segment.
Richard of the week.
Everyone will think the Chiefs are going to get away with it, but Mahomes will throw a pick to Jesse Bates in the fourth quarter.
That'll
end the game. Jesse Bates has been fantastic against Mahomes. They're going to wish Mel Kiper was actually right, that they did ban too high, because they're going to be getting killed with Bates and Von Bell.
Jesse Bates is 90.
Bijan Robinson will run for 125+. Falcons passing game will be effective. Travis Kelce will go off at least 80 yards on six catches. The rest of the offense will sputter without a running game. The Patty panic from national haters will start to ensue because we'll have performed poorly in three straight games, but that'll all go away because then the next week they will annihilate the Chargers. Pretty off besides the Patty bad game. Bad game.
If you would have said Justin Simmons, like that guy just has Patrick's number,
Dang
right?
It.
Like seriously, like six interceptions against Patrick Mahomes. We need him on our team just to keep him away from others.
Seriously.
And keep him away from Patrick. It wasn't that bad, except for the outcome.
Yeah, the outcome. But yeah, Patrick playing poorly is
so
is the
closest
thing.
To the script was me.
I think I'd give Dusty.
Yeah,
I think we all had one really good correct thing.
Yeah.
If you put all of our scripts together, it would be perfect.
It worked. It was great.
Score. Pick.
We all thought Travis was going to go off.
We
though.
Did. Yeah.
All three of us.
I mean, and
does that mean we're done thinking he's going to go off?
No, because the minute you don't think he's going to go off is when he does. Right.
He goes next week.
Yep.
I still have some hope for this weekend.
The Chargers game.
It's the Chargers.
Like he plays big against them on the LA stage.
Yeah.
You know, he likes LA.
Yes. Right.
I don't know. There's a chance. I'm saying there's a chance.
See what the Chargers do.
See what happens.
See if Harbaugh knows who Travis Kelce is.
Oh, he does. I guarantee it.
Are we sure?
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
That's right.
And leans on his staff like
Speaking
Moses.
Speaking of that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where this is
did,
going.
Did Samuel L. Jackson say something in his intro last night on NBC?
1,000%.
Okay.
No,
I'm just making sure I heard that. Like, how did NBC allow that to go out over the air and not change the script? Right? You guys all heard it, right? Max like acted like a little child back there laughing his ass off. Dusty's like, yo, no, we heard it.
No, oh, yeah, we were watching. Yeah. I go, did he just say what I thought? Okay.
Yeah, he did.
We were talking about it when my watch party, right as you texted. It just made it so much better that you texted that as we were already like, what?
Did he say? I don't remember now what he said, honestly.
It was something, let me see, because you texted it, so I have the evidence.
Look at it and see, but I remember him saying, I'm like, did I just hear what I thought he said?
Somebody in the text line said, side note, that's a pretty fun segment. I hope you guys do that each week. Well, we plan on it.
Yeah. Unless we forget.
Yeah. He said, get hard.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
You got to get hard.
Excuse me?
There are snakes on this mother bleeping plane.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson, hold on to your butts. Best role ever was Jurassic Park. Coming back on the other side, I don't know where this guy's mind is right now, but Vern will join us here in a little bit here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5. The Fan.
I was 37 years old when I found out Deuce Vaughn's size. Not his height.
Right.
Not his height.
Jerry Jones out here making memories for everybody, I guess, right?
Way to go, Jera. We'll get to Vern here in about 5 minutes.
I'm sure he's excited.
I'm sure he's excited not to have to work today.
Yeah, right?
He's like, I got this hit with Fesco and Dusty, and then I'm out.
I'm going to go take a hit.
Yeah. Or six. Oh, I can only imagine
like
doing
Vern's
that.
Vern's passed out like the old hobo back in the day with a bottle that has three X's on it. You know, like, what in the hell did I just witness over this weekend? We all witnessed it, right? Friday was, tough. Still, why Tommy Pham is at the plate instead of one of the younger guys getting an opportunity in a tough situation, I'll never know. We'll ask Vern about that. But also, too, Saturday became a 9-0 game. Two different people hit two home runs in that game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you before the show, like, it's time to trade Brady Singer. Get what you can for him this offseason. Move on from that guy. And then yesterday, I don't know, how much of the game did you watch yesterday with Royals? The Royals? Yeah.
Zero.
Oh, you didn't watch
it? I had it on my phone. I take that back. I was live streaming on my phone.
Okay, so we had it on one of the TVs because my wife's like, put on the game. I'm like, okay, let's see what's going on. Big game, right? That game ended so fast. I've never seen two teams just go up there and just swing at everything and move the game
along.
We had
two aces on the mound.
I mean, it was
Snell versus Lugo.
Yeah, I mean, Lugo gave up two runs early, and that was it. And then Snell, like, they got swept by the Giants at home. And, God, I just
They also got swept before that series, too.
Oh, I know, by the Tigers. But, yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Washington. I keep hearing from friends in baseball, like, don't sleep on the Nationals. They got a lot of good young players. They're playing hard at the end. And then you finish off the season with three games in Atlanta. You'll probably see Chris Sale, who's going to win the Triple Crown for the pitching side of things, most likely, in the National League. And, I don't know, man. Like, you got to get some victories in Washington before you head on to Atlanta to finish off the season. But right now, they just look lifeless, bro. And I hate to say that because, we've been, rooting them on all season long, but now they just are not peaking at the worst possible time.
Yeah, it's tough because, we always try to be the, power of positivity. We try to be those people that are optimistic. And, I went up here and just shouted it out of the roof on Thursday about the, the fan base not believing in this team and not understanding what they look, still a playoff team today.
Right. Yes, they're still being chased.
It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's tough. It's hard to watch. It's, you get people on NFL Sunday text you going, damn Royals, man. I'm like, I know.
But that's good. I mean, that's where we want to be, where people are paying attention on the 22nd of September, right? First day of, what do you call it? Autumn. The first day of autumn and the people are paying attention to baseball. That's a good thing. And look, if it ends and they don't make it to the postseason, well, then you got to make some changes, on the roster moving forward and find a way to, use this as a jumping off point, not something where they fall back. I had somebody who played high level collegiate sports over the weekend, text me about the Royals, and he goes, man, this has got the look of something that could potentially carry over to next season. You can't allow what happens at the end of this season to carry over to the beginning of next season. You've got to find a way to move this thing forward, and you've got to find other bats in the lineup other than Vinny Pasquantino, because losing that guy should not cause your team to collapse like they did.
He might be better with just one arm.
I mean, maybe.
Got right now. Yeah. I think, was it Renfro yesterday got the golden sombrero? Yeah. Did he have four strikeouts yesterday? Tough.
Salvador Perez, bases loaded. Look, I know Vern will agree, and we'll have him on here in a second, but look, that's a moment where you got to be the captain in that situation.
Yep.
That's a moment where the bases are loaded. They walk the superstar. This is one of these games. This is that's that time period with the bases loaded. Like, you don't have to hit the grand slam, but a base hit up the middle scores two, tie game. You have a different sort of spin on the mood, even though they would have gone 1-5 if they would have won that game. But Friday night, I'm there. Ninth inning. It's getting weird. Here comes. Strike three, game over.
Yeah.
Saturday, not even worth your time. 9-0. I'm sure Vern was in and out of post game in 45 minutes, unless it was a big time callers. But Sunday, again, you had the opportunity. It's 2-0. Snell's out of the game. The Giants' bullpen's in the game. Bases are loaded. Salvador Perez is up. Nothing comes of it. And the Royals, in this seven-game losing streak that they've been on, they're averaging 1.8 runs a game.
The thing about Salvi, though, too, is I kind of feel bad because you can see he realizes he's the only opportunity other than Bobby right now in this lineup, right? He's the only guy that you can truly count on in this lineup. And the pressure that he's putting on himself, like, if I don't come through, who's going to come through? Like, I jokingly said to you guys yesterday that the Royals should put an ad on Marketplace looking for a number five hitter, right? Like, there's got to be somebody out there that can come through and take that pressure off of Salvi because he's really wearing it right now. And the rest of baseball knows it. Walk Bobby, don't pitch to him. And if Salvi beats you, great. But if Salvi doesn't beat you, then you've got this thing won. And that's where I go back to not allowing these young guys to get these at-bats at this point of the season. Like, Friday night, Tommy Pham's in the batter's box, and he strikes out. Tommy Pham's not going to be here in 3 weeks. Like, that guy's moving on. Why is he taking at-bats away from MJ Melendez or Massey or Garcia? Like, I know we want to try to win these games, and they're pushing and pressuring and whatnot, but you're not developing your roster for the future by letting Tommy Pham and Robbie Grossman have at-bats at this point in the season. Let your younger guys go out there and play in these situations so they can grow, much like Ned and company did back in 12 and 13 with Haas and Moose and Kane, and that helped them explode onto the scene. They knew what pressure-filled the bats were. Like, right now, these last six games of the season should feature all of the players that are going to be here moving forward next year to get them that experience. So when next year does come, this isn't newfound territory for them. It's not new land. It's not like, oh, I've never been here before. They can go, oh, no, we all went through this last year together and battled. But for whatever reason, Tommy Pham and Robbie Grossman and that Frazier guy, like, these guys are getting valuable at-bats from some of these younger guys that are going to be part of this thing moving forward. So we'll talk to Vern about that coming up here in a couple of minutes.
Somebody says, no. You guys don't get to play this jumping off point card. I said it was over the day after Vinny got hurt and you all obliterated me. I was right.
Who cares?
First off, I'm not jumping off. Team's still a playoff team.
They're still in the playoffs. They still have a 68% chance of making it to the playoffs.
And I'm not jumping off the ship. I've been very clear that I am staying on the ship, whether this thing sails or sinks. That's where I've been at. That's where I'm at. And that's where I will be. So let's get it. Let's get it factually correct.
You want to be right as opposed to have your team make the playoffs. That's the fan right there that I just don't understand. You'd rather sit here and text a radio show that you called this as opposed to saying, damn, I was wrong. This team made the playoffs. They took off. Like, the opportunity and the want to be right about this baseball team losing has been some kind of cloud that's been hanging over this organization and over this fan base all season long. Like, people refusing to accept, hey, this was a fun season. There's been a lot of good things that have happened here over the course of the season. Why not accept that? Why not enjoy that? Why not embrace that instead of being that guy who wants to text a radio show and tell everybody that he was right about a certain situation? I love being wrong when it benefits the Royals or when it benefits the Chiefs or when it benefits one of our local teams. There's nothing better than going, yeah, I screwed that one up. Look, they told me and they're playing good football or they're playing good baseball right now. But to come in here and go, see, I told you I was right about that. Like, if that gives you happiness and joy in your world, you probably got to find something else that can bring you happiness and joy, because that's sad.
It is tough. Like, I mean, I thought Tommy Pham was going to be all right, and it didn't work out
that well.
But
he needs to stop taking away at-bats from our younger guys.
Yeah, and I mean, that sucks as well. Like, people care too much about predicting something correct. Like, that makes them smarter. You're literally just guessing. No one knows the future. Look, I mean, I know that they're still a playoff team. I know that they're still
there. I know the teams are chasing them.
And I know the weekend sucked. I know those last six games were terrible.
It sucks since the 14th. That's the last day they got a win. Okay? It happens. They're just sucking at the worst possible time to suck.
Right.
And there's still six games to go, and you still are in the playoffs. Go take care of business, and you'll be in the playoffs.
Congrats, guy. You figured out that losing a top three run producer in the league was going to make the team the last month a challenge. Being happy about that. Yeah.
That's a good text.
Told you.
Yeah. All right, Vern, let's have a conversation about this, my man.
You haven't bought cigarettes, have you? I know you've been clean. But it's coming.
No, but man, I remember that sweet nectar. I'll tell you what.
That's right. I bet you could use that nectar after this last week at home.
Stay away. 2024, okay. Nobody smokes anymore.
Yeah, that's true. So let me ask you this, Vern. Well, let's just start with the weekend as a whole. What was the pulse of the Royals fan base during this weekend?
Of the fan base? Wow. Well, I was very agitated after Saturday's game, agitated at everyone. You know, yesterday didn't bother me as much. I don't think it's a choke job to get carved up by Blake Snell. You know, to piggyback what you guys were just talking about, I had this caller, a great Royals fan, but I think her opinion reflects exactly what you were just talking about, Bob. She says, Vern, I called up on opening day. And getting back with this Royals team in 2024 felt like getting back with an ex, where the entire time in the relationship, I'm wondering, have they really changed? She calls up after game 155 and says, see, this is what I was talking about on opening day. I wonder if they've really changed. And that only added to my annoyance, my frustration with just the homestand, right? The worst homestand. I mean, as bad of a homestand as you can imagine, in the batter's box, on the mound, in the field, and in the stands. The fact that the sentiment is still, well, yeah, I know we've watched 155 games and the pitching staff's awesome and the defense is elite and they've, you know, Bobby Witt Jr.'s put together the greatest season this franchise has ever seen, the greatest season this building of Kauffman Stadium has ever seen. Royals are above 500 for the first time since 2016. Yeah, but are they really different? That skepticism, to me, is reflected in 1.6 million people turning out over the course of a season, the biggest crowd since 2018 when they were hot garbage. You fell short of that attendance mark. So the sentiment of the fan base, listen, the people that are at the games are, like me, annoyed with the offense, sad for the players, but very thankful that this team remains in possession of a postseason spots. And we're also, I think, I can speak for the season ticket holders that have been showing up. And listen, that crowd yesterday was awesome. That was a garbage atmosphere as far as the weather, as far as Blake Snell, as far as what the offense was giving you. But the 24,000 that turned out in that spitting rain were waiting for a reason to get loud. And whenever a base hit happened, they came to their feet. So the crowd yesterday was outstanding. But as a whole, I think the sentiment of the diehards is, boy, this is tough to watch, but I would have signed up for this on opening day. But I think the majority of Royals fans are, you know, kind of rolling their eyes at this team and saying, see, that's why we don't go. Using it as an excuse as to why this city hasn't embraced this team really much this season.
Vern, my biggest concern is now, why are we allowing Frazier, Grossman, Pham, all these guys who aren't going to be here in 3 weeks to get these at-bats when we could be giving these type of at-bats, these learning experience at-bats to MJ and Massey and Garcia? I know they have some more sort of analytics. This is where I think analytics are a waste of everybody's time. Let your young guys take their lumps and learn in these situations. I'd rather see MJ Melendez, for example, strike out in the ninth on Friday night than watching Tommy Pham. Like, this is not doing anything for the development of the organization.
Yeah, I don't know if flailing at more pitches does much for the development of MJ or Massey or Michael or Isbell. Furthermore, are we sure that these guys are a part of the plan?
Well, I know Pham and those guys probably aren't, you know?
Sure, but, you know, last year was the evaluation season, and in that evaluation, you saw what Massey, Melendez, Isbell, and Garcia can be, and you saw their flaws. And they were given opportunities, ample opportunities in the first half of the season to allow this organization and this front office to see no need to add a Tommy Pham, a Robbie Grossman, and Adam Frazier, but they needed that. They needed those guys to come alongside, dating back to spring training with the Renfros and the Hampsons and the Fraziers, to kind of give this team that Raul Ibanez speech. They've been doing it all season. Yet, my response would be, you know, this isn't, and you know this, but this isn't the Dayton Moore Royals, to where, you know, you're our guys and you're going to be here next year and you're going to be here the year after that and we're going to stick with you because we believe in you. No, I mean, you've seen in a year and a half the churning of talent that's already happened from J.J. Piccolo in this front office. I would expect that's only going to continue moving forward. I mean, as I look at the 2025 Royals, while the rotation still seems set with Lugo, Reagan, Singer, Marsh, a Kyle Wright, a Chris Bubich, a Daniel Lynch as Michael Wacha makes his way to free agency, I look at the offense, and outside of Vinny, Salvi, Freddie, Bobby, Hunter Renfro, and Wright, other than that, no one, I'm not giving anybody else a spot. Now, I like Kyle Isbell's defense, so that gives him a leg up, but you know, Massey with that back, you know, MJ Melendez with his endless hot and cold streaks, Michael Garcia, just a dog of a season, man. A very disappointing campaign for Michael Garcia. I had really high hopes for him. So if you can improve this offseason at third base, at second base, in a corner outfield, at center field, I see no reason why J.J. Piccolo and this organization would have pulled the trigger. So, no, I'm not going to grind these dudes to the finish when their at-bats are telling me they don't warrant it. I mean, Robbie Grossman's giving you a fine at-bat. Yeah, Tommy Pham has struggled in big spots of late. He started off gangbusters, and that's why that team, after that seven-game losing streak immediately following Vinny's injury, that's why the team kind of picked it back up, mm-hmm. because Tommy Pham went 3-for-3 with runners in scoring position. Yuli Gurriel, still, to this day, to me, is the third best bat on this team. But since Tommy Pham's 0 for his last 11 with runners in scoring position, and the team, man, you know, the stats say it all. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, to go back to what you guys were talking about, I'm not reveling in this. You know,
no.
I get no joy, especially when I see the pain on Bobby's face, when I want this pitching staff to get their flowers in October. You read what Vahe and Annie Rogers had to say about that clubhouse after the game, where it's just 28 shell-shocked dudes all in their uniforms still after the game, a sight you don't normally see, especially heading into an off day. I take no joy in what's happening, but the stats say it all, so there's no need for me to pile on. Since Vinny went down, they are statistically the worst offense in baseball, and I'm including the Chicago White Sox. I don't need to add anything more to that. That says
wow, they're the worst offense in baseball since Vinny has gone down?
Yeah, they weighted runs create all those nerdy stats, even OPS. You can dive into their OPS, dead last in Major League Baseball dating back to the 30th of August.
Why has Vinny's injury had that kind of just disastrous impact on this team, though, Vern?
If you look at when he went down, it was also during that riptide. So you're facing really good teams that have really good pitching. The riptide ends, and you see a Detroit team that cannot make a mistake. At least A.J. Hinch cannot make a mistake with whichever reliever he chooses. You know, Washington, this Mitchell Parker kid you're going to see, Patrick Corbin, those are some solid lefties. When you lose Vinny, you lose one of the best bats in baseball as far as hitting good pitching. You know, to me, October always comes down to how many good pitchers do you have and how many good hitters that can hit good pitching do you have? To me, you had Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny. They were three of the 15 best hitters in baseball when it comes to the big moments where you're bringing in the big reliever, where your starting pitcher is bearing down and going to execute his best pitch, right? Runners in scoring position, two outs, man in scoring position. That's when the best of the best step up, and Vinny's OPS with two outs and a runner in scoring position, the only batters with a better number are future Hall of Famers like Juan Soto, Jose Ramirez, Salvador Perez, I mean, the best of the best, Shohei Ohtani, former MVPs like Cody Bellinger. So to lose a guy like that, You can't replace that, and you've only continued to see really good pitching. So you add it all up, and what you're seeing is an offense that was always below average. All season it's been below average, but Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby have been putting this team on their back for the first 4.5 months. So when you lose one of those guys that carries the load, who else is going to pick it up, especially when your lineup becomes so much easier to navigate? You lose Vinny, and Bobby's still getting it done, still with an OPS of 850 since Vinny went down, but he's not getting the same type of game-changing opportunities. He's being pitched a lot tougher. And on the flip side, Salvi's OPS is below 600 since Vinny went down. And as you mentioned, Bob, yeah, Salvi, it's so very clear when he steps to the dish, much like it's been for the past 5 years. He understands, if I don't do damage, damage is not going to be done. Maybe he's trying to do a little bit too much. It was clear he was frustrated yesterday. And then you read the dispatch from inside the clubhouse, and you can understand Salvi was still quite upset after the game. Disappointed in the line of questioning, but also disappointed in his own performance.
All right, Vern, in my hands I hold an 89 Tops featuring Len Dykstra.
89, they went in 93, so I'll say he's still with the Mets.
Yes, you're right about that. There you go. You're one for
Thank
one.
You. All right.
Was he the one we lost? And he go? Didn't Dykstra go?
Oh, that's
wild?
Nails. No, that's no, the one. That's drill bits. You're like, is he in jail?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's a scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, he's a. Well, look at him. I mean, there's his picture.
Yeah, right.
I mean, his name's a
football player. Yeah.
89 Tops again. A gentleman by the name of Mike Morgan.
Mike Morgan, righty, either with the Dodgers or A's. I'll say he is a Dodger.
You're wrong. Orioles.
Not even.
Wrong.
All right. One for two.
All right. Let's see if you can be a Hall of Famer or a borderline Hall of Famer. I've got a 90 Fleer that features Jeffrey Leonard.
Oh.
Yeah. Jeffrey Leonard. I'm thinking Daryl Hamilton. Jeffrey Leonard. Outfielder with the Reds.
Outfielder with the Mariners.
Close. You got the first one. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you got the first one.
Yeah, the first one was kind of a layup.
Last text I'll give you to give, 10 seconds on what to say here. Vern, do you have any hope and positivity for the final week of the season?
Yeah, they're in possession of a playoff spot. Another reason why people tune in, Vern, you are letting them off the hook. Why are you not screaming? How can I scream when they're in possession of a postseason spot?
Correct.
Okay, if they gag it away, maybe I'll get angry. But even then, they're going to finish the season with 83, 84, 85 wins. They got you to football season. They were a lot of fun to watch. Bobby signed. I just refuse to look back on 2024 with any sort of frustration, dismay, regret. Man, this has been a blast.
Yep.
It could be a bumpy finish, but I'm going to try and enjoy it.
What are we talking about a week from today?
Playoffs.
Yeah, hopefully a trip to Baltimore. Houston, whatever. Just hopefully they're getting on a bird, flying somewhere, getting ready for but Michael Wacha maybe starting game one, depending on if Cole Reagans pitches that final game. You could go Wacha game one, Lugo game two, and then if you need Reagans in game three.
So
that's what I hope we're talking about.
So how many wins over these next six games is it going to take to close this thing out?
Boy, oh boy. Tarek Skubal has a start, and then they have three against Chicago. So you know what? I don't know if I'm looking at Detroit right now. Man, you know what? Win four games. Do it yourself. To look at Detroit, to look at Minnesota as they have helped mightily of late. Now, man, put this on the Royals. Go 4-2 in these final six games. That's what I think it'll take. Get them to 86 wins. That at least needs to be the Royals fans' mindset. For as much as we want the Twinkies or the Tigers to give it to us, no, you got to go win this series in Washington, and you're going to have to beat a good pitcher in Atlanta. You did this to yourself by gagging against Detroit and San Francisco.
All right, Vern, enjoy the off day, and then the grind of six straight starts on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, bro.
Thanks,
I
guys.
Love you. No problem. Josh Verner, Royals Insider here on 96.5 The Fan. He'll be back Tuesday night for Vern's On Deck show that you can hear here. Mac Moore, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. We get back into more overreactions on a Monday from the NFL on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Leggins, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you on a Monday, Victory Monday. They always feel a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, years ago, we used to do like a big Red Monday, right? Like, all right, everybody wore red on Monday and Friday and Tuesday and Thursday and Wednesday. And
Mac wore red, even though he picked the Falcons to win.
Well, it's Falcon red. Hey, he's got that Falcon logo on the corner of that thing. Yeah, that's all right. We all make mistakes. We're just fine to admit that. Who cares if you're right, right?
FanDuel, great place to place bets on. There's two games tonight, so if you want to go to FanDuel, head over there and place a couple parlays. Their first post this morning, you want to guess what it was?
Chiefs 8.5-point favorite over the Chargers.
It was not. It was a picture of Travis Kelce, and it says true or false, Travis Kelce is washed.
Oh, yeah, false. Yes,
yeah,
false.
Right here if you want
to. Oh, wow, look at that. I mean, everybody wants him to be, I think, washed because people want to be right about that
right? I want to bring that up real quick.
All right.
Do you think the NFL wants him to be washed?
No, God, no.
Do you think fans want him to be
done? Yes. Okay. I've heard from a lot of people recently outside of Kansas City. They're like, I'm over the Kelces. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, somebody compared him to Kevin Hart. They're like, Kevin Hart was really funny at first and didn't do a whole lot of stuff. And then now it's like everywhere I look, Kevin Hart's in my face and I can't stand him. That's how I feel about Travis Kelce is what some fans have said to me.
I think the two brothers combined, you know, like I really do like that Buffalo Wild Wings commercial where Jason's sitting at the bar, and which, by the way, when was the last time you talked to a flying buffalo?
Was it 20 milligrams or 30?
So he's sitting there talking to a flying buffalo, which I think is very cool in and of itself. You don't see many flying buffaloes sitting at bars. And then he says, you know, we're like long lost brothers we never had. And Jason's like, I have a brother. And then the buffalo is like, yeah, but he's not here with you, is he? I was like, that's a great commercial. It is a fantastic commercial for Buffalo Wild Wings. But they are everywhere. And I get texts from friends all over the country all the time. Like, are you guys tired of the Kelces? Enough of the Kelces? Like, so I think there is, from a non-Chiefs fan perspective around the NFL, a little bit of Kelce fatigue featuring both Travis and Jason. But I think from an NFL perspective, they don't want Travis Kelce to go anywhere, and I don't want Travis Kelce to go anywhere. It has nothing to do with Taylor Swift. The NFL wants him around because of Taylor Swift. I want him around because I still think he's good, but we're starting to see 35 become 35 right before our eyes, right?
I also found out yesterday that she, I guess, doesn't go to away games.
Oh.
I figured she...
I thought she was at that Jet game a few years ago. Or not a few years. Last year.
Last year she was.
Yeah, last year she was.
She's got an apartment out there.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Wasn't in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then they're in Los Angeles this week.
Right.
So I wonder if she'll be at that game. Not that it like makes a story out of the rundown. I just was interested to see. I thought, because I read the report that she would go to most of his games this year.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think she's living here part-time. But like,
she's got a couple more legs of this tour.
Oh, she does.
I think Miami, somewhere else in Indianapolis, my wife was telling me over the weekend. So there's still a couple of more legs of the tour, and then she's done with that, and then maybe she'll, you know, be at more games. But I mean, like, whether she's there or not, he's got to find a way to, you know, make people stop saying he's washed, right? I mean, and I don't know if that's scheme. I don't know if that's opportunity. I don't know if that's him just getting a little bit older, you know, whatever the case may be, right?
So you're
saying
that's an overreaction. That
he's washed. Yeah, I don't think he's washed. No, I don't. I think the Chiefs are showing us how they're going to move on from Travis Kelce by getting Rashee Rice involved. I'd be more concerned if nobody else was stepping it up, but this Rashee Rice has come to play. He's one of your top wide receivers right now in the NFL, and him and Patrick Mahomes have got a pretty good thing going right now, Dusty, so I wouldn't want that to stop, but you'd like to see Travis Kelce more involved. Maybe they'll start scheming some things for him. Maybe teams will start focusing on Rashee Rice more, and that'll open it up for Travis. I don't know. Like, I'm not the football savant, you know, that, you know, these coaches are in the NFL, and there's probably some good reason for it, or they're just looking at it going, he's 35 years old. I don't know what to tell you anymore, right?
The Urban Dictionary version of washed. You used to be the blank, now you ain't blank.
That's right.
And then their definition sentence, Mac Hammer is mad wash now.
Come on.
That's what it says, I swear. If you look it up, it says Mac Hammer is mad wash now. Somebody in the text line also gets the show. There it is. Mac is a big fan of Tony Gonzalez, the great Falcons tight end.
That's right.
It's ridiculous. Huh? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, the Travis with the double team scheming, that's all fine and well and good. Sure, and that may be some of the case. But, I mean, his first catch, they tried to go in him early in the first quarter. I think it was maybe the first drive, a little screen pass, a little bubble screen. And you can see, I mean, usually that's at least five or six yards.
Yeah, it was only yards. A yard.
And yeah. he gets up and he's like, that's my bad. It's like, yeah, man, you couldn't even make a move.
Yeah, like that was only a yard at there.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the turf because it got Mahomes at the end of the game too, you know?
And I know somebody else, thing,
like, that turf is just terrible. Like, I'd rather play on dirt than some of that turf. But, you know, it is what it is. And, like, if they were 0-3 and Travis wasn't doing anything and nobody else was stepping it up, we got some issues we need to talk about. But this is why the Chiefs are on top of the NFL. And why they've been able to maintain, because they found a way to move forward without really moving forward, if you know what I mean. Like, they have already found a way to replace Travis Kelce. His name is Rashee Rice, and I'm good with that. Like, he has become that wide receiver we haven't had since Tyreek Hill. And maybe Wiley steps it up. Noah Gray just got paid. You're going to start to see some of these other guys. And that's what it comes down to. All right, if you're tripling Travis Kelce, somebody else needs to take advantage of that. So far, it's been Rashee Rice who's been taking advantage of that.
Another overreaction that's not on the list, but I just came up with on the top of my head, is the NFL in a world of hurt if these are your four best quarterbacks from the weekend? Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Justin Fields, and Malik Willis?
No, I think it gives you
your four best quarterbacks.
Gives you the league exactly what you want. Everybody thinking they got a chance. Like, Green Bay's going, oh, we could trade either one of these guys. Who's got the best offer? Is it going to be Love or is it going to be Malik Willis, right? Like, Andy Dalton bringing Carolina back to life. My God, now people are saying, well, Carolina may be a good team with Andy Dalton as their quarterback, right? So, no, I think it's a great narrative for the NFL. It's better than having it dominated by Mahomes and Burrow, because now all these other, like, if you're waking up in Carolina this morning, you're like, see, we're a good team. Like, you're buying into what you saw this past weekend because Andy Dalton gave you a chance. Now it's beautiful for the NFL. Beautiful.
I mean, it was just, you kind of had to know that Malik was going to do something because it was Tennessee.
Tennessee. Yeah, revenge game.
Absolutely, a revenge game. Being down there, and, you know, is Levi's going to play this week or is he going to get benched again?
Woo.
He had a couple of nice moments.
That's the problem, is that he looks like he's learned and then he just does something stupid.
Yeah.
He's like Josh Allen in his first 2 years.
Yeah, you're like, oh, here we go. Yeah. Because he started the game, what, like 14 of 16 for like 145
and
yards?
He threw a dime at one point. I'm like, oh my God.
And then it's like, you turn it back on and it's like, what was that?
Yeah.
Like, where did all of that just go? Now, again, like we talk about, everything's scripted in the first 10 to 15 plays. So he knows where he's got to go. It's when he has to react to the defense, which I think appears to be the issue with Levis, but tough league this year.
Yeah, it is. It's tough to figure out.
Hard to gamble, hard to play fantasy football. Yep. I mean, Juwan Jennings was the best wide receiver this week. Their team loses.
I think the memo is probably take the unders now. I mean,
yeah,
like defenses,
anytime Philadelphia plays, take the under.
Take the under.
Because they run and they don't score.
I mean, defenses have gotten really good too. They really have. There's so much speed on defense right now on all teams, not just the Chiefs. Like, you look at all teams in the NFL, they have got speed on both sides of the ball. Like, this became a fast league almost overnight, right? So the question is, what's going to be the adjustment now? What are the offenses going to do to adjust back to the defenses?
Yeah.
Or will we see the Mel Kiper thing come through and they've got a meeting in, you know, May where they ban the too high safety because it's killing the offense?
Kansas City already has the adjustment. It's Carson Steele. It's big running backs. It's big ground and pound running backs, and the Chiefs are luckily already have that. They have two of them, really. Samaje Perine had a couple nice ones.
Perine was pretty, but I think actually they have three of them when you factor in, you know, Pacheco, right? You've got really three.
And Kareem.
And yeah, exactly. You got three guys, four guys that will run their ass off and run hard, and maybe that's ultimately what it takes, because you have guys like that, you're going to have people come up to the line of scrimmage. Then you can maybe go up over the top. So maybe it is defenses, maybe it's scheme, maybe it's age, maybe it's a combination of everything, but I'm not writing off Travis Kelce.
And tomorrow, Dusty, we'll obviously go through our Tough Tuesdays or hot seat coach rankings. I think that'll be, you know, kind of telling in some of these offenses. You mentioned those quarterbacks, Dusty. Each one of those offensive coordinators and coaches are killing it for them. You know, Matt LaFleur, Kevin O'Connell with Darnold. You know, you've got Bulls with Baker. I mean, you keep mentioning those guys, and you look at the quarterback, the great names.
Tomlin.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. But you mentioned the actual great
Justin
Josh
Fields
Allen.
Was good yesterday, though. I mean, their defense is fantastic in Pittsburgh.
They played a beat up Chargers team.
That's all right. They still win. They're still 3-0. They helped us out yesterday, knocking the Chargers off.
No, I agree with you. The young coach mind is figuring the league out, and now everybody has to adjust.
Who is Pittsburgh playing this week?
Oh, you put me on the spot.
I know.
It's tough.
I know. It's on a Monday. It's hard to know the next week. Let me see.
shouldn't be too hard to find, right? You just go to Score Mobile,
website
go to the
NFL. Or something like that that we can look at.
Is there a website? Yeah, it's called Pittsburgh Steelers next week opponent.
Here we go. They play.
I don't.
They play at Indianapolis.
At Indianapolis, and Anthony Richardson sucks.
He stinks.
We bleed blue.
Okay. Well, that's your Colts theme song guy. It is a first debut on the show. We'll get to Josh Briscoe, editor of Chiefs on SI.com, coming up on the other side. Chiefs contributor joins us, Josh Briscoe, on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.